There's an event coming up on August the 6th called Economies for People, Not Profit. And Brian Innes from Living Economies is going to be here. Do you just want to tell us a little bit about what this is about?
Well, if I ask you where money come from, like where the money come to New Zealand, what would you think?
Well, I sort of know some things. I know there's foreign investment, and I know that the government could create its own money, but it seems to borrow its...
Well, most what people think, or the logical, is that the government is printing notes and making coins, and the government created money, but it's not. The government create only less than 3% of the money that circulate in New Zealand.
So that's the that's the physical money?
I'm talking about money overall.
Okay.
The physical one that, as you know, they try to eliminate. They try to eliminate all cash money. But where it's come from is from private banks. And the way that they make it is when you take a loan, when they give you and me a loan, we owe them. You know, we're going into debt. And that debt is what create the money. So basically, they give you money from nowhere. They don't have the money. They just create out of the thin air, because it's just figure on their computer.
Yeah.
So they just go to the computer and they put the figures and they give you the money. Your debt is real money. So we need to create real money to give them. So they gave us something from nothing, and we need to give them real, and the real money that we need to create is what is how they have money. So, you know, banks in the past used to be like, you know, you work, you get some money, you invest it in the bank, you put it in saving, you put it in your account, and then when you need it or when someone needs it, they have enough to give you. But about 30, 40 years, they took off the regulation from the banks, and since then, this is what they do worldwide.
Yeah.
And it sounds weird, and you're like, but like if you just go and check it, this is what they learn in economy schools. This is how it works.
Something that I thought of was thinking about that the improbability that they don't actually have the money that they give you is I've never heard of anyone go to a bank for a loan and the bank said, sorry, we don't have any money.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of anyone ever being turned down on a loan or a mortgage because the bank didn't have enough money.
No, it's like because you're not in the standard, because they think that you cannot repay them, because what important...
Yeah, that's a reason they would turn you down.
Yeah, that's
the
reason.
But not
because
they don't have money.
No, they don't, because they create the money. And the idea is, because of that, it's created a situation that we need to work harder, we need to compete more, and we need to use more resources. So then, like, big part, and it's worldwide, it's not only here, the resources that we use that hurt the environment it becomes like bigger and bigger, because we need to use more resources so we create more money, so the bank will have, so we can pay back the bank. And what they do with the interest, it's compound, so they put interest on top of the interest.
Yeah.
Okay, so then basically, once you're taking a loan, it's for life. You, like, you know, it's a mortgage. You know, you stuck with it, and they pump it into the, like, when they have that money, they pump it back into mostly the housing and land field, because this is
That would be evident from property prices.
And exactly, and this is what happened, and then they get all the property houses, and you can see that since 1994 the house prices just jump till like the beginning of the 90s. House prices was like more or less the same, and then it jumped till today, and then it keep on going up and down.
Yeah. So the system is not working for us. It's working for the banks and shareholders, I guess.
And if you think about it, most of the banks owned by overseas.
Yeah.
Companies is basically most of the money going out of New Zealand, so basically it's hurt the economy. So this is one one aspect. And if you think about it, this is just not sustainable because it's basically it's built on the trust that we have in the banks, or the banks believe that we're going to pay them back. But if you cannot pay back, or enough people cannot pay them back, or there is loss of trust, like what happened in 2008, in the US, then we'll have a collapse. And, you know, most experts says like sooner or later we'll have a collapse. So this is you know, kind of the issue globally. But over already 10 years ago, so it's probably way more because Raglan, you know, it's much bigger than 10 years ago. 10 years ago, someone measured or made the, I don't know how they made the math, that over $10 million a year, or $12 million a year, leaving Raglan to the banks, mostly outside of to outside of the country.
A previous time Brian Innes was here, he showed a graph.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it was showing that how the money that was leaving the community. So I remember that, and people were pretty shocked by that.
Yeah.
But it makes sense given the background that you've described. Like we're all got this debt burden that we're trying to pay.
Exactly. So yeah. we all in the same pool, and then you have a smear of really rich people that benefit. But most of us, as individual, as in community, we just constantly just trying to create that, to work and create that money, to do something to create that money. So basically to sustain the banks.
Yeah.
And so this is like the background, and I believe, and I think that like there are more people that with me that, and there are like research that back it up, that a strong community that work together can actually create a good economy for the community. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, leaving the country and creating the Raglan country.
Oh, the Republic of Raglan. Republic of Whangaroa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that we can do it. I don't think that, like, we're going to, you know, totally get off the banks. We're not going to. We still use the bank. We still use the system. However, there are other ways that we can help each other and help the community to have a better economy that actually works for the community.
Right.
You know, something that work in a way that everyone can benefit.
So this is what Brian's coming to run a workshop on the 6th. I'm just looking, the 6th, I think.
Yeah. So this the 6th of August.
Yeah.
And it's going to be in the Raglan Bowling Club. It's a free event. Everyone welcome. And what the time date says?
10 to 12 is a facilitated workshop. Then there's lunch, and then from 1 to 3, an optional extra session for further to further explore action plan for.
So Brian, when we talk to Brian, because so many people actually already have ideas here and knowledge, he want to have it more a conversation that like people can share.
Yeah.
So it's not so much he's giving his lecture or like whatever. Like he will more facilitate.
Yeah.
A conversation. The second part, we're going to do kind of a game that will explain people how saving pool work.
Yeah.
So let me maybe talk about some option or what we when we say like community economy, what we're talking about. Okay.
Yeah. So this is setting up something that's outside of the banking system, I guess, in some ways.
Yeah. So there are already something that already working in Raglan and in New Zealand. So one of them is the organizer, it's Time Bank. And people say like, oh, Time Bank is something really lovely, but I don't have the time for it. But actually Time Bank is a currency exchange. We just change, instead of money, we use time as the measure currency. And we can take it as far as we want. Like really, if Raglan getting organized, we can actually use it for many, many aspects, like for real skill, for real, you know, not only like something that we do in our spare time, we can really start to use it.
Yeah.
So when we understand that it's actually a currency, time, our time is a currency. And one of the issues that we have is the way that money distributes. So a lawyer, and I have nothing against lawyer, but lawyers, you know, getting like thousands of dollars per hour, and maybe, I don't know, a cleaner getting less than $10 per hour. But, you know, they put the same time, you know, for, it's the same hour.
So the time bank doesn't recognize that, it just recognizes time.
Exactly. Time bank look as your time, my time, and the time of any person is equal. It's you willing to give your time is what's important.
So, and the, I think that the thing that I always had trouble or was found surprising to think about was that it's not a, because it's not a debt-based currency, it's really weird about how you, like people go in and they want to pay into it, or you're worried about running up debt, like other people have done more than you've done, and it, and normally in a normal bank that would incur a cost for us, because we'd be paying interest and we'd owe and there'd be this burden. But it's mentally going, actually, I don't have a burden in this situation. That's, and it's weird. It's
created,
really weird.
It's created reciprocity. Like it's created a situation when people go like, hey, been given something. You know, someone was doing something in my garden or something. Yeah. Someone was like watching my kids or, you know, doing something. Lend me his car. Like, you know, there's so many things that we do in Time Bank. I like to give it back, and it's not necessarily giving it back to the same person. You can give it back to someone else because, you know, it's like money. You know, you don't always, if someone give you money, you don't need to give it back. You have the currency, you have the money, and you give it to whoever you need.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it's created a sense of just wish to be participate and give and receive. So this is one
that's
option.
That's one thing, yeah.
A bit more money-wise, it's the saving pool. And the saving pool, it's a bit more difficult to explain, but basically it's
we still have one here?
We have two.
Two, because I remember when they, because that was the last time Brian came, it could be 10 years ago now.
It started 10 years ago.
Yeah, and the first one and then two.
Two, and they changed throughout the time. People come, people go.
Yeah.
We thought to open a third one, but then we actually want to make those two bigger. We even merge them and make it bigger. At the moment, we just keep them as two separate. People know each other.
Yeah.
And it's really work on people know each other.
Yeah.
It's really work on community. So the idea of saving pool is that we, bunch of people, putting money like maybe a monthly or every week, you put some money into an account, okay? And we're using a bank account, it's just comfortable. And each one, what he can, like sometimes it's $50, probably it's $10, probably it's like sometimes it's, you know, $200, whatever you can. And let's say that we need to have... we want to do a renovation in a house, okay? Or we have, here we go, we're talking about the bank. Therese and I, my partner, we had a debt in a bank in Australia, a few thousand dollars. We had a credit card because before we came here, we were traveling. We had credit card, we use it. So we had a debt for the bank. And it's taking so long. And then it's in Australia, so there was like the currency exchange. What you do, you from that pool of people putting together, you ask for a loan. And the loan that you get is basically interest-free. However, you get the money, you pay it back, and then you pay it back again. So the kind of interest is the same amount that you took again. But in the end of the process, when you pay the extra, that money is yours. So you can take this money if you want. You can use this money now. So like if
but you're paying you're paying it into the pool that collectively everyone has access to.
But the people don't really have an access for it. You know, you put the money, you cannot just draw it out.
No. Yeah, you have to make like a group decision about who gets a loan.
So then like so what you do like what you do, you go like, okay, I need money to buy a car, or I want to at the moment, we're actually starting to work with more globally in New Zealand. So we interact with other saving pools. So there is a couple in Coromandel that put that getting $350,000 to buy a house, like a house kit. Okay, so they get that much of money instead of from the bank.
Yeah.
They get it from a few saving pool that getting organized to give it to them.
Yeah.
So they will get they will buy themselves a house, and they will, and as they go, they will start to pay. So you know, we had to do like we had to need to a lawyer, and there is a an agreement, and like basically the house, like you know, you need to come with a plan.
Yeah.
How are you going to pay it back? From where you have the money? What is your guarantees? In the same way that you come to a bank, but it's your mates, so you can explain to them, this is how I'm going to do it, and this, you know, like and people go like, well, this is feel comfortable for me. This is not feel comfortable for me. So if you're part of this group, you can say like, well, I don't feel comfortable with it. Don't use my money. Or it's fine, use my money. They will pay those $350,000 and then they will pay it again. But in the end of the process, they will have $350 belong to them.
So at the end of it, they can withdraw it if they want.
If they want.
But before that time, when they've paid back the original $350 and they're paying the next $350, that money's available for lending out.
Exactly. So okay. This is where you create a reciprocity. So then like as you took money, as you start to pay it, even you know before you get the extra, as you start to pay it, that money can be used with other people. So you constantly have a movement of resources instead of getting stuck in the bank.
Yeah, and so that's money that's not going to the bank. Is it the case that, I guess it really depends on interest rates, but people can sometimes pay as much in interest during paying off a 25-year mortgage as they pay for the original purchase?
Probably even more.
Yeah, it would depend on the interest rates, but it's very significant, and that's what's being used. Okay, all right. And if people don't understand, Brian will have diagrams.
It's a bit like saving pool. It's a bit like a mind twisting. Like you need to get to understand that it takes time. Took me like a couple of years.
And you need pictures, and Brian will have pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else are they? Because we'll move on.
Another thing that we're going to talk about is Raglan coin.
So a local currency.
A local currency that it's been trialed in different communities, but nowadays with the blockchain, with the online currency, we can start to really work in a way that everyone, it will be transparent and everyone can receive money. And
people will have heard of Bitcoin. It would be using the same technology, but not like...
Exactly.
Not in the same way that Bitcoin.
Not in the same way, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But like something that will work for the community. And if we doing it well and we have enough organization and businesses that use it, that can start to be get used outside of Raglan. You know, so we can start to expand it. But like, you know, to begin with, it will be something that we can use in the community that, again, going to stay in the community and not going out to private banks.
So is there a group of you that are interested to do this?
Yes, there are some people that are interested and they have more computer knowledge and financial knowledge. And it's still in a discussion, so it needs to be discussed about how it will be done well.
There was someone here a year or 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I did an impromptu interview on the weekend with this guy.
Okay.
Who was an expert on the technology side of
okay.
that. So I don't know whether... I can't remember his name. It's pretty pointless actually saying this. I was going to say, do you know him? But we don't know. So we'll say, okay.
Okay. I know a few people that's really interested. I think that it will be really exciting to do it here. I think that like Raglan is actually a really good place where people can cooperate. And do stuff together. Because we see it. We see it even with the new local energy company that's starting to work for Raglan and Extreme Zero Waste and all those like great stuff that happened in Raglan. And as I said, like we're not going to eliminate outside world, but we can start to take care more about the way that the community works together.
The other thing that was on the list of things to talk about is land trusts.
Yeah.
So do you just want to give us a skinny, the brief on that?
I think that, like, probably Brian will know. I don't really know much about it, but I think that, like, the idea is as land price going up and the rates going up, is to create a trust of people that buy their land together. But I will... I have to say I don't know much about it, so I'll just leave it there. And
but it is a way way of getting cheaper houses for people.
The idea is potentially, yes, potentially, yeah, is the way that, like, we all, that people again as a community get the land and help to build houses in a way that kind of everyone help everyone.
Yeah.
How,
yeah,
exactly it happened, I just don't have the, like, as I said, like, come join our Kororo on the 6th of August,
yeah,
and we'll talk about all those things and many other things. So it will be great, great start, and from there we can maybe, I don't know, let's see what happened, but if there is enough interest,
yeah,
it might be like break into work group that will work and come with ideas that we can take into action.
So that would be in the afternoon, and there's a lunch. It's a potluck lunch. We need to hold on. If you look on Facebook for the link for the event, Economies for People, Not Profit. If people search that, should find it.
You can find it. They can go to the Environment Center Facebook, and they will find it. And I promise that I will put it on the notice board as well.
Yep.
And I think that there are a few posters in the streets in Raglan, in different places.
Yeah.
So those.
I better click that so I can keep track of it. I'm hoping to talk to Brian. So this is not this weekend, but the weekend after. I'm hoping to talk to Brian next week.
That would be
so
great.
So we might quiz him on the land trust thing.
Yeah.
Particularly since that's not your area.
Yeah,
there are a lot of people looking at this now. Even like the Perry Foundation, who have obviously got a lot of money, are looking at doing that. I think the housing crisis has, the problems caused by the housing crisis has penetrated big business world.
Yeah,
and now pretty much everyone in the country is taking it seriously. Like, I was quite surprised. I saw a workshop that the district council did, and the mayor was saying, he was saying all the right things, which previously I don't think they'd really had a feel for the crisis, because they were all kind of semi-retired people who own their own land. But the fact that someone who they perceived as being important, you know, a rich person, was taking it seriously, they were taking it seriously.
Yeah.
I might be doing them an injustice. They might have been taking it seriously anyway. But I do think it was significant that someone that they looked up to
was saying. And yeah. What did he say, what he was talking about?
So they were talking about, they would have a fund. They would buy a large piece of land, they build houses on it, and people would buy a house for kind of half price, like a three-bedroom house or a two-bedroom house for half price. And I haven't got the full details, but I know that as people bought into it, they'd be able to take the original funds out of it, and then they could go and buy another piece of land,
okay,
and build another community sort of thing. It's not a community like an eco-village community or anything like that, just saying a group of properties. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, well, you know, like, as you say it, it's again...
And I think,
like,
it was, the land was held in trust. I think that was part of it.
So this is like, you know, so again, it's like, it's one of those things that you can go, like, you know, rich people and like rich companies can create this land trust, and basically they will own all the land.
Yeah, well, right? they're a philanthropic trust that's...
Yeah, and then, you know, so like it's suddenly like, all the land is owned by big corporation.
The other option
is like we're getting organized as a community and we're doing it together. So like, you know, so this is where we at, is at like making sure that our resources, that it's, you know, our water, our air, our land, it belong to the people. It's not belong to big corporate. So we don't... So the resources, so money is only a resource. So like all our resources are not concentrate in fewer and fewer people, but like work more for the community with the community.
Yeah, yeah. And it's taking the activity outside of that system that's designed to funnel money out of the community.
Exactly.
Yeah. And Extreme Waste is something that does that. That's something, yes. When I made that film about it years ago, I looked at you know, how much money the community puts in through its rates.
Yeah.
And how much of it is spent into the community. And Extreme spends more into the community than they get because they're making money out of the recyclables.
Yeah.
But if the same thing was being done by, for example, Waste Management, which is an international corporation, then they would collectively take, there would be a collective loss for the community.
Exactly.
Same thing. A huge proportion, somewhere around half of the money, would end up being spent outside of this community.
Yes.
So it's, yeah. And it's, yeah, and it's, so this is, I guess for me, my way of saying it is, this is a way of creating things outside of that system that funnels the money out of the community so that it stays.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, so I think it's like absolutely, you're right. And I think that this is the time to really start to make an action, you know, where we see, you know, as we started, you know, in the beginning of the conversation, we already seeing that like the situation with the money in banking situation is not sustainable. It cannot stay for long. The world is kind of on a brink of like where we're going, and it's kind of thing. It's international. Like, you know, you see it like different ideas about you know, I think like the COVID was really magnifying glass of what's really going on.
It was interesting though, because the reaction there was not not what we've had for the last 40 years, which is let the market decide. It was, we're going to print some money and keep the whole thing going, or it'll tip over.
Yeah.
And there was no hesitation. All these neoliberal governments are like, no, we're spending the money, we have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and all the so over the last 40 years, they said, oh no, we can't intervene in the market. And they intervened big time. And they did the right thing, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they could have done it differently in some areas, but generally,
They
put the oil, kept the oil in the engine, right?
Yeah, they did. And then you have to ask, like, what changed? Why in this case? Why, you know? And
yeah.
I think
yeah.
like this, the idea is that there is like an idea in the banking or in the world economy is that of infinite growth. Like that we can always grow, we can always using resources. And it's just like in the universe, there is no such thing as constant growth.
You know, I feel like people they actually understand that, but that they can't, that they're on the treadmill and they can't get off it.
I think that like there are people that just don't, they understand it consciously, but they don't really do anything about it. They see short-term goals. So they so like it's a corporation that they want to have that money. They want to have this resource, and they don't think 200 years from now.
No, they'd have they to walk away from that system and their wealth if they were to do that.
Yeah, they don't think 50, sure. even 50 years ahead. And we need to start to think 50 years at least, or 200 years ahead. And if you think about like all traditional owners of lands like the Maori here or like the North American indigenous, they were planning for 7 generation forward.
Yeah,
they were thinking what my grandchild going to inherit, and we don't have it here. And so we need to decolonize the money system and start to work more. You know, it's not like going back, but it's like it's going forward, but with ideas that we learn from past, from communities, time.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, folks, we've been talking to Itai, and you might have seen Itai at the market, or you might have seen him involved with Time Bank, but we're talking about a workshop that Brian and, I should say, we keep talking about Brian Innes, but Brian and Joe will be here. It's called Economies for People, Not Profit, 6th of August at the Bowling Club, 10 o'clock. And people can look online at, I think, the Environment Centre website, and you're going to put it on the notice board.